Amen. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, thank you for the kingdom established in our hearts. Your kingdom is thrusting us forward. Always it is moving forward. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tell your neighbor, it's good for us to be here. Come on, say it like you mean it. It's good for us to be here. And he goes on to say in Matthew 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's Jesus teaching his followers what the kingdom of God is about and its value. We're going to talk about kingdom values over the next few Sunday nights. These are powerful revelations from Jesus, and he's showing us how to operate in kingdom principle. John the Baptist preached the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom. We should comprehend and preach the kingdom. Because as I read to you in my opening text, the kingdom removes needs in our lives, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom removes needs in our lives. Now, these passages we looked at speak of value in the kingdom. What are our concepts about the kingdom of God? What are they? What happens in our head when we hear the word kingdom of God or sentence kingdom of God? One thing I've learned, when speaking biblical truths, Satan resists it, doing everything he can to stop what God's progress is intended to be. So if you feel in any way impeded by the adversary, rebuke him, because he'll do everything he can to distract you, get you off the rails, stop you from hearing these kinds of truths. And Satan will oppose the advancement of the kingdom. Satan does not want the church to advance the kingdom of God. Wants us to sit back and coast. He does not want you to receive an assignment, nor does he want you to walk in your assignment, let alone take back territory lost through the fall of man. Satan does not want you to do any of those things. Jesus entered into our lives as Savior and Lord, King. He is not beneath, he is above. In any place where the enemy has imposed himself, when you sense you have an intruder, think kingdom of God. So that which should not rule over you cannot rule over you. Now, we can do church as usual. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I have to see something happen. I want to watch God work among his people. And when you look at the word, you see Jesus imposing his kingdom. He imposed the values of the kingdom everywhere he went. And what did Jesus say? And how did Jesus impose his kingdom wherever he ministered? And by casting devils out of people and then clearing the atmosphere of them, tearing down strongholds and healing those that were sick of every imaginable disease, by forgiving the sinner, by cleansing the leper, by opening the sight of the blind, he imposed the kingdom of God. So number one, we have to have hearts to seek. We can get to the place of complacency because we've got it so easy to serve Jesus in this culture. And we switch on autopilot, just attending, showing up once a week on a Sunday, in the routine, no longer seeking for more, hearing amazing truth and letting it roll right off your back. If you don't seek, you won't find. Proverbs says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Every day as kings and priests, we are asked to search out the heart of God. We must have a heart to seek. Matthew 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So if I'm not receiving, I'm not asking. If I'm not finding, I'm not seeking. If the door is not opening, I'm not knocking. If I desire to find, I must seek. If I want to find, I must ask. If I want the door to open, I must knock. I need something to happen, I must ask. I need to find an answer, I must seek. I need a door to open for me, I must knock. And those are the commands of Jesus to his followers. We are not in a slumbering moment when it comes to the body of Christ. We are in the greatest season in the body of Christ ever. This is not the moment to stop asking. Not the moment to stop seeking. This is not the moment to stop knocking. And don't allow opposition to prevent you from asking. Don't allow crushed hopes to prevent you from seeking. And don't call off your search. No matter how long you've been searching, don't call it off now. Keep on knocking. And no matter how many doors have been closed, keep on knocking. I learned to understand some doors don't open because they are not God's will for my life. And God has saved me from problems by not opening those doors. Are you listening? Number two, you have to discern the value of a spiritual matter. Now, don't be surprised if the person, not the person you're seated next to, but don't be surprised if the person doesn't know your value. Be alert. If people don't know your value, you might be prone to devaluing yourself based on how they handle you. Be careful. When you tend to devalue yourself, they don't know they're around treasure. Why are you so quiet? You ought to be shouting. The jeweler has a special glass called an eye loop. And when he inspects the quality of diamonds through it, he can find either the perfections or imperfections. The person who doesn't value you doesn't have the right lens. Here are the words of Jesus. Don't give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now, I'm not tagging anybody with any titles here tonight, but we can say that some gifts are not valued the way they should be. And we can say that because we've seen that. So be alert that you don't devalue yourself because you shared the sacred with somebody who discarded what you said like it was a dirty napkin. Don't be devalued when you share with two legs and the response is four-legged. And never feel devalued when you share with an animal nature. The old nature does not know value. That's why we have to teach people kingdom principles. We have to teach people they are not another species of animal. You are royalty. And when you are royalty, you treat others like they are royalty. Discern the value of spiritual things. The word says we are treasure to God in earthen vessels. there's greatness in you. And will you explore who I am to discover what is there? We judge things exteriorly. God looks interiorly. Until we have the eye of God, listen, we can judge something he values as less than valuable or cheap. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Discern what we are seeing. Should the one who always smiles at you become your bestie? I have many people stop and smile at me. I don't know where some of them have gone. That's all they ever did was just smile, right? Discern the value of a matter. You are valuable to God. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God knows you long before you came into time. And not only knows us, he plans for us. He had a mission for Jeremiah and Isaiah and Moses, and he has a mission for you. You say, well, I'm just an ordinary person. Funny, that's what they said when God called them too. Don't worry. God is extraordinary. Amen? A young Minnesota man grew up in a foster home. He didn't know who he was. He'd been adopted and had no information about his biological family. And as he grew a little bit and matured a little bit, he began looking through the public records to see if he could find their identity, because he was curious. Where did I come from? Who am I? What's my lineage? What are my parents? And one thing led to another, and after he looked up some names and he began to do some exploring and made some contacts, and back in that day, he mailed out a letter, snail mailed it, and was waiting for someone to respond. And one day he received an amazing letter. He got a response, and it began, "Welcome to the Ogeich family. You come from a family with rich legacy." And so the letter explained that he was a part of a very prestigious line, and he was next in line to inherit the position of the village chief of his true father, John Ogeike, in Nigeria. Long way from Minnesota, no matter how you decide to get there. And the tribe had not realized its heir was across the ocean, living in the United States of America. And they had been searching for him, even as he was searching for them. And the new young chief flew back to his rightful home. He embraced his family, took up a good life that had been meant for him all along. Now, you might not be a tribal chieftain by right, but your destiny is even greater than his was. You are an heir to the kingdom of God. Like Jeremiah, you're no stranger to the Lord. And he has in his heavenly storehouse all the blessings with your name written all over them. Discern what we are seeing. Number three, you must recognize what you have found is greater than what you have. That's the challenge of what Jesus teaches in these parables. Because we tend to attach ourselves to what we have. Grab it and hold it, but don't know the value of what we have found. The man found the treasure in the field. He hid it, went home, because he was getting what he was finding and understanding what it was like, and he sold everything he had. He got rid of everything he had at the time. Came back and purchased the whole field, understanding if I found treasure right here, it's possible there's even more treasure buried here that I haven't found. But even that alone is worth more than anything I've got now. Understand, treasure is not just seated in this section. It's not just seated in this section. I've learned this. Those in my spiritual lineage are a treasure. They carry spiritual authority. They carry royalty. They carry the treasure of God's kingdom. It's called kingdom authority. Amen? So watching and hearing and observing those in God's family, I stand amazed at the treasure inside of them. So recognize what you have found is greater than what you have. If you don't, this is what you're going to do. Luke 5. And no one, Jesus said, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. Now, don't admit it, that you've probably said the same thing or thought it. Listen to me. The old wine has migrated to a place where it's reached its flavor peak. The flavor of that old wine is not going to improve much anymore. New wine is expanding. And that's why you can't put new wine in old wineskins. It expands. Because if you put new wine in old wineskins, they will burst and everything will spill out. But a kingdom mindset refreshes in every season. There's renewal in every season. And if you don't do that, you grow stale. And so you reinvent in every single season. And here's how you renew an old wineskin. Some people think, well, they're no longer any good. No, they are. First of all, you take them and you wash them in very warm water and cleanse them from any impurities that are in them. The Word of God does that on a daily basis within us. Then you take that wineskin that's been washed in warm water and you soak it in pure olive oil. And you let the oil penetrate that old wineskin. And that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? And you renew that wineskin. See, I'm determined I will not run out. There will be anointing. There will be fresh flavor. Amen? Every time you think this is it or that's it, no, I will move to another dimension. Because there is new wine. And I will shift to another new revelation. I will shift to another anointing because it's new wine. I discover something new every day because I am a seeker and I recognize the value of a thing and I know that what I have is not as powerful as what I'm discovering right now. And that's how you keep yourself fresh. You have to be willing to leave what you had. And what you had might have been torment. You just got used to it and let that become your norm. Some of you have held on to worry and anxiety, and that's your normal day. You just worry all the time, and you wouldn't know what to do. You'd be worried if you weren't worrying. You are anxious. You are always finding something that's troublesome. Now you have an empty bank account, but shift over to this next dimension where God is doing exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And I want you to know God has the ability to absolutely blow your mind. Get the mind of Christ. I believe God's up to something in this place that no blueprint of the devil can stop, because God has value on his mind. He has not devalued you. God has just granted you upgrade. Thank him for upgrade. Have you ever noticed, I have, that stores in certain communities are more expensive than in other places? Depends where you shop. I don't mind paying for quality. I was taught at a very early age, don't buy junk. Save your money and buy something that lasts. Because the people who taught me that had come through what was called the Depression. And they understood the value of things that were made out of quality. And so the process then would be, I wouldn't buy it until I had enough saved. And then I would go buy something that would last. It'd have quality in it. I remember I had a board member when I took my very first church in the Chicago area, and we moved into our home, and he said, hey, you guys don't have any trash cans. So he went out and picked up some plastic trash cans, and it was in getting into the season of the winter months, and I looked at him and I said, as soon as it hits zero, that thing's going to crack. Well, you know, we're on sale and I got a good price on them. I said, why don't you buy metal ones? They'll last long. No, we can't afford to buy metal ones. We're going to get the cheap ones. Well, guess what? He ended up having to go buy new ones anyways again. Because guess what happened to the cheap plastic ones? As soon as it got cold enough and something hit them the wrong way or they got tossed the wrong way by the people in Recology, then the things cracked, okay? Okay, because they weren't designed for that kind of weather. So my explanation to him was, if you had spent something on an item that cost a little bit more, we wouldn't be having to buy it twice, because you've already spent the money you would have spent if you spent it the right way the first time. Okay. Now, I had an uncle that worked as a tailor when he came from Europe. And that was the skill set he had. And he had a big store for the Wall Street gang on Broadway called Broadway Tailors. And periodically, he would come visit us. And, of course, we'd go visit him. And he taught me some things about the quality of material, because that was his life. He knew material, bolts of material. And so when he would be creating custom suits for these guys making all kinds of money on Wall Street, he would take me to the bolts of material and say, hey, feel this. Say, you don't have to read the label. If you learn by touch, you'll know the quality of the fabric. No matter what the price tag is on the, go touch it first. Because if you've learned the quality of the fabric, the price is irrelevant. They may jack that price up for something that is junk. He said, learn the quality of the material, because that's where your value is. And depending on what it is they want to purchase and what kind of value they want and long-lasting ability they have, and that's what I learned, prefer quality. I save to purchase quality. It lasts longer. Now understand this. You might have been through a lot, but your quality is great in the body of Christ, because the process has built value into who you are. Kingdom. Think about kingdom. What comes to your mind? Deeper. And bringing it beyond the mind and planting it deep down inside the heart. And if you receive it, before you leave this building, your life will begin to transition and change. God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for you. And he'll do for another and another. God's all ready to shift you from where you are to where he desires you to be. So to be more than what you are right now is his goal. Don't ever be ashamed of growing up in God, of going up in God, of being better, because that's what his kingdom is designed to do for those who are a part of the kingdom of God. He is an everlasting kingdom, forever. There is no end to his kingdom. He will reign forever and ever, the scripture says. It's an advancing kingdom. Some people, listen, they'll go looking for you in an old place, but you're not there because he moved the door. Amen. You are not helpless. You are not paralyzed. Some will look for you in your old paralyzed state. You're no longer dwelling in a paralyzed state, because you are loving like Jesus and you are living like Jesus and you are leading like Jesus. And God is not sitting around. He is a creator God. However, he's waiting for us to get up and do something along with him, to co-labor with him in his kingdom enterprise, introducing people to his son. He wants us to do more than speak. He wants us to act, and it's time we bust a move and get busy. This is a group of people at Calvary Christian Center who are saying, I am ready, man of God. Whatever the assignment is, let's go do it. That's what we need in the church. And God will not allow me to make an excuse, because he spoke of a kingdom, of possessing territory, and enlisted me to play for his team. And he isn't interested in my excuses, because he will always win. And he's given me a dream, and he's given our church a dream, and it's all ahead for us. What is ahead for us is more valuable than what is behind us. I got three people agreeing with it. That's good. I'm glad you know what you're doing, Lord. Yeah. It's good. What is ahead of us is more valuable than what is behind us. And if you can take on tomorrow, if you can begin seeking what God wants in tomorrow, if you can prepare and be ready for tomorrow, something will shift in your life. Be ready to capitalize on tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day of the Lord, and there's nothing to fear in that day. If you've been proactive, you can just step right on through that door to what God has before you. Wow, what did I do? Something went flying off of here. No, that's okay. You can stay there. My granddaughter decorated it, so I don't want to show it off up here. Anyhow, discern the value on the inside of you, because God is watching over you, because you are too valuable in his kingdom. He believes in what he has begun in your life, and he intends to complete it. So why don't we start cooperating with his plan? Amen? God has invested in you his son. This I will move. Okay? He has invested in you his son. He has invested in you his word. Great messages preached, Bible studies, the gifts of the Spirit, the giftings that other people bring to the body of Christ. And I know some have mishandled you because they don't know value when they've handled you, and they just used you. But you are people of covenant, and the Lord is married to you, Calvary Christian Center. I said the Lord is married to you. Amen. I understand how some have handled you when you revealed the holy to them, but I know how God will handle you. Amen. I know how it feels to be devalued. I felt down here when God had me up here. And you just want to stay home because you just don't realize your value, thinking what was inside of you was not valuable to anybody, because some handled us without the lens, the eye loop, to see our value. However, I'm thanking God for my mentors who saw something in me I didn't see in myself, who had a lens of God to see treasure and took a risk on me. And when given the opportunity, the treasure manifested. And something is happening in her. This lady of mine has treasure in her. And we're going to unlock that in her life, because the treasure in her is bling, 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 woman of God. Amen. There is an increase. Somebody's getting excited over there on the front row. That's most excited I've seen you all day, brother. Yeah. Increase in value. Calvary, we are seeking the Lord. We will discern his value in our lives. We will know what we once had is not as valuable as what we now possess. So celebrate that. We are in a very good day. Not an old day, a new day. We've stepped out of yesterday. We're headed for tomorrow. And you're headed toward greater victory. You are triumphant. You are more than conqueror. You run through the troops of the adversary. You leap over walls. You are a superhero. God is with you, and the enemy cannot stop you. Why? Because this is the season of the Lord, and your value increases daily. So no matter what has been said, your value is increasing. And the enemy knows if you ever realize your value, God's kingdom will crush his kingdom. Where is the kingdom of God? It is within us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Are you listening? You can have that much value inwardly and not realize it. I had to learn God's value in my life. And I still plead with the Holy Spirit before every service to come out here with me, to help me. Stomach churning, nervous, but focused because I have a word from the Lord. Confident because of what God has invested in me. You and your neighbor have increased in value tonight. And while I'm preaching to everyone, somebody in the room will jump up and catch this. Many are called, few are chosen. Who are the chosen? The ones who show up. There are people who showed up tonight expecting change, expecting shift, expecting to transition, to step through that new door. I don't know who handled you in the past, perhaps with no intention to harm, but didn't see your value. But tonight, God will give everyone spiritual eyes to see the kingdom of God within you. And some of you were cut deeply, and some didn't know your inward value, rejected, because some didn't know the potential that was inside of you. And they chose unfaithful men over faithful men. They didn't know you were still under construction. But maintain your value even if placed on the shelf. You've been told, not now. God will give you that answer once in a while. Not now. Not now is not forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Not now is not forever. And some here will enter that shift, and you needed a word. You have received that word. The pain in your soul will be neutralized. The value of treasure in you is now going to begin to bear fruit in God's kingdom. And on this journey into his purpose, those with challenges in your family will see breakthrough. The resistance you have encountered in the past will break down, and you will break through. God is speaking over your life. Peace, be still. The storm is passing. Don't quit too soon. Don't bail out. Stay with God's purpose for you and his kingdom. And for those who have encountered loss, if the right person hasn't come to handle you in the middle of your loss, it can be devastating. And you've struggled and you've wallowed. But tonight, welcome your release. You're going to be all right. You cannot dwell with insecure people when you're hurting. All you will do is swap pain. That's all you do. You don't get better. You don't get modified. You don't get healed. When you dwell with insecure people, when you're hurting, all you do is swap pain with each other and complain about how bad life is. You need to be around those who know their value and know your value. You are cared for by others in the body of Christ. You are too valuable to throw away, and the Holy Spirit is ready to bring release and propel you into purpose, your purpose, tonight. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? And healing will begin, and the kingdom of God and its value in you will all of a sudden be discovered in this field. And you'll begin to become a seeker and recognize the value and understand that what you have that you're embracing now is more valuable than what you've had in the past. And then God will begin to utilize you at a level you've never been utilized before. We cannot allow ourselves to grow stale in an old wine skin. So some of you will have to take that skin and scrub it and get all the debris that's accumulated inside that thing out of there. All that vinegary stuff. Soak it in olive oil until it's soft and pliable again. So it won't tear when he pours fresh wine in that old wineskin. So when it begins to expand, you begin to go places you've never been before, it won't burst. You'll be cool. And you'll be ready to tackle whatever it is God has for you. Others will begin to manifest your true value and recognize how important you are in the kingdom and the purpose for which God has placed you here to make a difference. I thank God for kingdom authority and kingdom principles, because like that young boy in Minnesota who had no clue who he was, until he went on a search, only to discover this foster kid who had been left behind was actually the heir to the throne of a chief in Nigeria. Next in line, do you know what God has put in you that has great value for his kingdom? For I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus, everywhere he went, imposed kingdom values, inserted them into every circumstance he found. And that's why we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And of his kingdom and rule, there will be no end. Every other kingdom man has built on this planet has collapsed and is collapsing, and all of them will fail, but his kingdom shall stand forever. I'm glad I belong to his kingdom. So I pledge my allegiance first and foremost to the king. I have no other king but Jesus, and my allegiance to his kingdom. First and foremost, I am a member of the kingdom of my Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Let's stand together and celebrate the Lord. Come on, let's praise him. He even will take